Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ready, steady, go. Ready, steady, go. Go. Is it on? Right, great. Okay. Good morning, darling. How are you?
Fine.
Oh, dear.
What are you going to do then?
But I think this the little story that I've got, and I think you've got as well, because I saw it on your notes on your desk when I was trying to print something out the other day, is about the secret killing life of Mr. Motenzi and Mrs.
Secret
Iris
cat kills. Now look, unusually today... Hello, Iris.
Hi, Iris.
Unusually today, I've got all the papers laid out like an actual thing.
Yeah.
So we can go to the story on Monday. Uh-huh. What page did you make?
Monday, Daily Mail page 4.
Oh, no, I got it from the Times, obviously.
Well, I say it's in both.
Well, yeah. Oh, where's it gone? I cut it out. Oh, I cut it out.
You're no. So efficient.
And,
so
I put it, and I lied, I put it from the mail. I just feel that I should reference the Times because I work
they,
for them.
Yeah.
Watch out, Tiddles the Cat's a secret serial killer. Mm-hmm. Cat owners who rarely find a dead mouse on their doorstep may think that their pet takes little interest in hunting for prey, but they may in fact have a covert killer on their hands. A study using miniature cameras suggests that pet cats bring home very few of the creatures they actually kill.
And my question would be, why would you do that study and who paid for it? Go cat.
The ecology published in the Global Ecology and Conservation Journal was conducted in South Africa. Ah, in South Africa. They're talking actually about lions. Surprisingly, it has been proven that if he brings back one zebra, actually he's probably been taking lots of tommies.
Which is what there's a tommy.
What is a tommy? It's a Thompson's gazelle.
Oh, fine.
And we call them tommies in order to make other people feel left out. Tommies, as opposed to the other kind of gazelle, and also impala, which has also and giraffe. Look, see, there's Iris, on the other hand, eating more muesli and yogurt than you thought your cat actually did.
Yeah, after snacking on cheese and brioche and all sorts of other weird things that she likes eating. Anyway, so...
But she's so Mo and Iris, who came to the country for the weekend, as they often do, did a lot of killing
it
last weekend.
It was a bloodbath, yeah.
I mean, I came down in the morning and trod on something sort of squelchy, and I was and in the morning I thought, oh, is that a cat poo? And it was only slightly better, which was the back half of a vole.
Mm.
So just the, and I looked down, is that what it is? And it was a tail and a bum. Mm. And the point is but apparently that he's killing far more than we actually know.
So the column would be the prison diary of Motenzing.
The prison diary of Motenzing.
Yeah, because he's a serial killer, so he's in prison, and it's his prison diary, and it's like the prison diary of a cat. Or, oh God, sorry. They're basically destroying and rebuilding a house three doors down.
No, what that noise is?
I'm going to close the WhatsApp.
Yeah, close it. That's the rivet gun. You know, the automatic, the spin, the thingy. They're scaffolding. They've been putting up the scaffolding for 3 days. Imagine how long the work's going to take. It's the thing where they're putting the scaffolding up, and they use that automatic turny thing for the.
If the people who have bought the house two doors down from us are listening to this, your builders are very noisy.
So it's
dementing noise. Okay, so
that's no good. You didn't read past the headline. So you've read, watch out, Tiddles the Cat's a serial killer, and you've thought he's gone to prison, but you haven't read the story, and it's like that's not a thing.
What's your column going to be then, genius?
Well, why are you going for this antagonistic tone? What's this column about genius? Isn't this about where you help me think of something to write about?
Okay, right. Next story. Oh, Sasha Swire. okay, I'm not sure this is going to be a column for you, but I've just got to talk about Sasha Swire.
Why?
Because of her diaries are... I just
and his wife striking fear into top Tories.
I just don't know where to start with them. So Sasha Swire used to be married to... Oh, sorry, is married to Hugo Swire, who used to be like the defence secretary or something like that. Or the foreign... A foreign minister, yeah, foreign
office. Politics get in the way of a good...
Well, I mean, you know, names. He's sort of a Tory person.
Foreign office minister.
Foreign office
Sir
minister.
Hugo Swire.
Hugo Swire. I was briefly at university with his son, who I think was called Sam. He was very sweet. Anyway, so they're sort of mega, mega rich Tories. Lady Swire, who is one of those tall, blonde, leggy, glamorous Tories, has written a book.
There's a Daily Mail. Sarah Vine said her legs seem to go on forever. They always say that about women, as if that was a good thing.
Well, you've just got these giant, long legs.
It's such a tawdry cliche, and her legs seem to go on forever.
Well,
you have famously short legs. They seem to barely start, and then they're over.
My legs are very short. My legs are is out of proportion. They're not actually, like, that short. They're perfectly... I don't find it difficult to, like, buy trousers. They're just out of proportion with my torso. That's not interesting.
Anyway, but so, why
don't... Don't knock Sarah Vine, because Sarah Vine is doing amazing work, sort of. I just... Okay, right, fine. So she's written...
I can't
book.
Think with that fucking scaffolding thing going. Is that just going to show up on the thing all the way through?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. But then people feel our pain. That's fine. Okay, so Lady Swire's book is called Diary of an MP's Wife, Inside and Outside Power, and it is staggeringly bitchy, right? So she's like, oh, I'm lifting the lid on what really happened. And yeah, she is lifting the lid on what really happened. And she also... She makes Samantha Cameron out to be a... The things that she says are so unsisterly, it's absolutely staggering, okay? So she says that when... So Samantha was so upset, quite rightly. She never wanted to be... She didn't want David to go into politics. She didn't want to be a Tory wife. She didn't want any of this. And she found it all really, really stressful. Whatever you think about Tories or her or anything, there's not a role that she enjoyed or wanted to do. And so when he went... When they all had to go and stand outside Number 10 when he was doing his resignation speech, she had to she had to have a stiff Negroni. And then she says in her diaries that Dave recoiled at her gin-sodden breath when they came back into Number 10.
How could she possibly know?
Well, because someone... Because they trusted her. Because
how could they know that he
was...
Because
he told her.
Yeah, right, fine.
Because he told her, and then there's that thing about when they were walking down a cliff path and Dave said, I've got to walk in front of you, Sasha, because your perfume makes me want to push you in a bush and give you one. Then she does a story about how Samantha Cameron and Sarah Vine had a fight at a party, which Sarah says, yeah, we did have a fight at a party, but it was a private event. And then she says that Samantha Cameron, she was so upset and stressed about Brexit that she fell asleep on a sofa after dinner because she was so tired. And a whole load of children came and sat on her and she didn't wake up. Look, it's funny and mean, but oh my God. I mean, she's just a bad person to have made that,
what's
all that
column?
Public.
What's the column about?
I don't know. You don't have to. I just want to...
You're just
about
a bit annoyed about Sasha Swire being disloyal to her friends. And she's fucked off because Hugo Swire didn't get some job with David Cameron.
Yeah, well, I'm sure she's annoyed about everything. And she's...
Now, what do you actually think about it, though?
Really,
I mean, you just think she's being a bit... She shouldn't have done it. She wanted to write a book, but she... Are you jealous of her for getting a book deal?
No, even I draw the line at getting a book deal, crapping all over people who thought that was able to keep a secret, which I can, by the way. And I don't know what you do with this, but I just, I'm just sort of stunned and horrified and appalled at what she's done. It's like the most unsisterly, least feminist, bad, wrong thing I've really ever seen. I mean, obviously I can't stop reading it, but you know, just because something's interesting to the public doesn't mean it's in the public interest.
I'm so angry with the scaffolders. It's like
I don't think I can ever write anything. Here.
Why do they need all that fucking scaffolding? It's already six times the size of the house. What can they possibly be doing up there? They're building fucking Eiffel Tower. It's Kentish Town. What are they doing? They're putting a fucking bath in. I fucking hate them. And they're shouting and sort of, ugh!
Do you think your column should be about the scaffolders?
I don't see how it can be about anything else.
Right.
And they give you a little pause. You think everything's okay. And
I wonder what it is, like, the scaffolding noise that's like, because I have a problem with different kinds of noises. I have a problem with your impersonation of American people is really infuriating when you get on a roll with that.
I don't do an American accent.
You go,
Today on the show, scaffolding.
And you're so pleased with it that you can't stop doing it. I find that really irritating. I find party noise really irritating.
I didn't ask you. What?
Music noise.
You find me doing my American voice literally as annoying as a scaffolder going...
No, I don't find them annoying at all.
Because you like scaffolders. You're imagining them all muscly and lean and tanned up there.
No,
they're
once
not,
when I...
fat wife beaters start drinking at 9 a.m. Do you know they're probably not even doing scaffolding? They're just holding the gun going...
So they can go and have their lunch at 10:30 with a pint of beer.
And you now, and you compare that to my really funny This American Life today on the show, three parts.
No, it's when you won't stop doing it.
Today on the show.
Yeah, exactly. Because you're so pleased with your impersonation that you just can't stop doing it.
Husband and wife team. Chat at home during coronavirus. He's a major columnist. He's a columnist. She's a subtle bitch.
You are kind of... Jesus.
Can they work together? We're calling this show...
No, I think... Equine.
Irritating noises. Equine. The scaffolders. Okay. COVID face. You see that?
I did. Hannah Betts. Wonderful Hannah Betts. Love you, Hannah.
Do you have COVID face? Is basically the front. It's got a picture of a good-looking woman. Has the crisis aged your face? This doctor says yes. If you suspect that 6 months of stress, bad eating and booze has wrecked your skin, you're not wrong. COVID face is everywhere.
Yeah, but... by lovely Hannah Betts, who I love, who's one of my first bosses, was one of the very
few people. Nice
very nice face. One of the first people who, in journalism who was like remotely nice to me, so I love her. But historically, you have gone at me hammer and tongs if I've ever suggested something in T2
you
is
know,
a pair.
No, I haven't. It's when you, when the T2 run a feature responding to a news story, and a news story happens, and like Prince Charles discovered that he preferred scrambled eggs to boiled eggs, and then T2 does a massive investigation of the 8 different kinds of eggs you could have and decides that scrambled is the best. You say, why don't you do a piece about the 8 different kind of eggs you could have and discover which one you like the most? And I go, that's kind of been done already, okay? But a story which launches in T2, which you later take the piss out of, you're giving me a proper fucking COVID face.
I really am, yeah.
Yeah,
but what would you say about the...
What would I say?
Yeah.
I would say, not just COVID face, other parts of the anatomy.
Affected by COVID.
I have, COVID. For example, COVID arse.
I was just going to say COVID arse.
Obviously, because COVID arse is fine.
Okay, so fine.
COVID arse is just from sitting about on your arse watching telly all the time.
COVID eyes, you're constantly looking for people who are doing something wrong so you can shop thy neighbour. COVID ears, where you think you can hear your children watching YouTube even when they're actually back at school.
COVID belly. COVID belly. What other things happened in COVID? COVID belly, something to do with sourdough. But COVID hands from like kneading all the sourdough.
Yeah.
I just thought COVID. Okay.
Because this COVID face thing, that's just from lockdown and stress, isn't it? That's not actually from coronavirus. It's not.
Obviously. Yeah. No, it's not things that actually you get from the disease.
No, exactly. So you've got to make your decision, and I think it's got to be like, it's basically lockdown things. I think you'll get bored within about 100 words of writing out. Yeah, exactly, bored already. Okay, right, next one. But how about the UK turns to drink? The drinking problem that we've all got.
Just been copying out my notes. That's what I heard next. But anyway.
No, I've just been reading the same newspapers.
Oh, that's fine.
You
should read The Guardian. Is The Guardian
what?
Still exist?
The what?
Can you still, The Guardian?
No, I don't want to do that.
But maybe it's got other things in it. The Daily Mail just has what The Times has, smaller and more stupid. And
it's larger pictures.
And we just fight to get it. Because basically, I come down in the morning to make a cup of tea. The Mail usually seems to get here before the Times, because the Mail comes from the newsagent, Time comes entry. And I go and I put the kettle on, and then I go to the loo for my morning, 7 o'clock ablution. And I take the Daily Mail and I read the whole of it while the kettle's boiling.
That's
because
you don't read it properly.
And I come back and then I have my cup of tea, and then the Times arrives and I can find out what really happened to the Times.
It's because you
know your Times.
Because you have to understand how to read the Mail, and you don't understand how to read the Mail.
Britain, look, on the front, Britain turns to drink.
Sorry, sometimes the Daily Mail headlines are so big, you actually have to hold it like 2 metres
away. Your eyes were focusing between the letters.
Yeah, exactly.
And what's the sub-headline so that people understand? Britain turns to drink.
Britain turns to drink. Number downing, high-risk levels doubles during pandemic, and middle class are worst offenders.
The Mail always puts middle class
To mean anyone just with to make any sure money that, at all.
Just to make sure people buy it. In case people walk in and think, oh, it's about common
people.
So you've
people. Really...
I, don't
this, I just find this so, so touching and sweet.
What that I've...
You've filled in, dutifully filled in, the are you drinking
I feel
much?
So...
Quiz.
Discovered. I feel so not seen. Seen but wrong. I feel embarrassed and exposed. It's true, they have a are you drinking too much? And I did the test really honestly,
but the thing is,
just find out if I was drinking too much.
Look, I don't know. I mean, look, you're so, the thing is, you're so full of kind of bluster and bluff, and when you fill in one of these things, I see kind of the real you, and it's really adorable. Like question 10 is, has a relative, friend or doctor or other health worker been concerned about your drinking or suggested you cut down? A, no. B, yes, but not in the past year, says Giles.
Oh no!
See, yes, during the past year. I want to know that. I want to hear about that story. Who's genuinely? Has anyone ever said, "I think you're drinking a bit too much, Jiley"? Who said that?
You've said it.
I always say we because I don't want to upset
really
you.
Bad. The little green men who live at the end of my bed say it to me. it's sort of my shrink.
The monkey sent by the witch.
My shrink used to say it when I had
right.
Sometimes I remember. Oh, she was a sort of, she wasn't really alive to double entendre, and she told me once that she said, "You're not very good at benders, are you?" and it's because I think, because I used to say, "So I've been on a bit of a bender back when I used to go on a."
Well, back when you used to disappear until 2 o'clock in the morning, yeah.
Yeah, and
I mean, having left it
anyway,
like,
so people
30,
have
yeah, yeah.
No, but look, I was get the cat off the thing.
Okay, Iris.
Score of 8+ indicates harmful or hazardous drinking. So I'm drinking, according to the Daily Mail, twice as much as the limit for harmful or hazardous drinking, and 15+ in men indicates alcohol dependence. So I'm on the edge of alcohol dependence, literally by having a couple of glasses of wine a week and being a bit sad about it.
But what and what's turned everything round though? Because I had 2 sips of wine last night because it was polite, and I had nothing the night before, and I don't plan to have anything tonight. And what's changed for us? Our son has started a new school, and he is finding it a little bit difficult to adjust. And we've got this new school run, and we've got, and he's now got, you know, homework, which we've never had to deal with before. And we've got to kind of sort out uniform and stuff. And also, I'm, you know, work has kind of picked up, and other things have picked up. And I realised on Monday that the only way I can do it all and get it all done, I can do everything, but I just can't drink.
It's basically the new expectations at our. The new expectations of our son at a more rigorous type of school
means
Arthur, we're stressed out by it because of there's more requirements of us.
Yeah, and it's
basically we have to do homework every night and you can't do it hungover.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Okay, I have 2 new obsessions that I need to share with you. Impress No Glue Press-On Manis and Impress Press-On Falsies Lashes. Trust me, these are getting ready game changers. Both require no glue, so there is no damage to your natural nails and lashes, no mess, and no annoying dry times. Just one step and you're done. Boom. Instant glam. Visit impressbeauty.com/presson and use code PRESSON25 at checkout for 25% off Impress manicure and Press-On falsies.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Do you want to introduce this story that we both really like?
One's Bake Off. Okay, yeah. This story. Well, this is a different thing to different worlds. Kate and... what's his name? The bald one.
Oh, darling.
Harry. Wills. Kate and William. Kate and Wills try their freshly cleaned hands at making bagels in the East End. And the headline is One's Bake Off. And she looks amazing in that dress with that
She's
mask.
She's so beautiful.
Absolutely
I love her so much.
Amazing.
Ow!
That was the cat, not me.
Sorry,
I didn't just like flick my wife's nose.
Although,
outside the Bagel Bake in Brick Lane. They famously never stand on ceremony, and yesterday was no exception for William and Kate. The royal couple got stuck in at a bagel shop in East London. Suitably, it's funny, if you do it in a different voice, it's like a report from the 50s.
Yes.
They famously never stand on ceremony, and yesterday... What kind of voice did they used to have?
Famously, they never stand on ceremony, but yesterday in Brick Lane...
Exactly. The royal couple got stuck in a bagel shop in East London, suitably masked, and after cleaning their hands, of course. You know, that's the sort of...
Pathé news.
It's the Pathé news thing. The Duke and Duchess of Cambridge handled 7 pounds piles of dough with ease, kneading them into balls to make a batch of 30 rolls. Complimented on her technique, Kate, in a red Bueller dress and tan heels, laughed. Just wait until you see the aftermath. I had beginner's luck, and they're getting worse. The couple had been greeted by cheering staff at the Bagel Bake shop in Brick Lane, Whitechapel. On seeing the counter groaning with goodies, William joked, "This is a dangerous shop to be in." He told Amund Cohen, 70, who started the bakery in 1974 with his brother Asher, "We are so excited to come to your famous shop." Fiona McVeigh, 64, has worked there for 33 years, said of the royal cooks, "They're pretty good. She clearly knows how to bake."
Do you think that any kind of, on any sort of royal visit, when they say something so obviously platitudinous and rubbish, like, "We're so excited to come to your bagel shop," does anyone just go, "Oh, shut up"? Don't pull the other one. Don't be ridiculous.
It reminds me of the first time.
The Tom Ward story.
No, the first time I met Elizabeth Murdoch. 20 years ago, daughter of Rupert Murdoch, who owns News UK, the proprietor of The Times, it was at a wedding, and she was then with a friend of mine, and I met her. We was sort of drinks. It was in the south of France, and there was Liz Murdoch, and I think, fucking hell, it's the daughter of Rupert.
She's actually very nice.
She's wonderful. No, but I'd never met her then, and we're now friends. But she was just Liz Murdoch, like really famous, beautiful, glamorous, and daughter of Rupert Murdoch, and. I was introduced to her and she said, "Oh, hi, Giles. It's so great to meet you. I've heard so much about you." And I went, "Oh, fuck off." Because in my head, I thought, how could Liz Murdoch possibly have heard of me or know who I was? So she just said a polite thing.
Yeah.
I still can hear her going, "Oh, so great to meet you. I've heard so much about you." "Oh, fuck off." And then and she looks kind of blank because she's partly because she's American, and Mary America. At a really posh wedding, a bloke in black tie doesn't go, "Oh, fuck off." To you. And I had to go, "I meant fuck off because I didn't really think it," and everyone was looking at, like, I didn't really imagine you would have known who I was because, you know.
I'm sure she was very nice about it.
It's true, and we have become over the years extremely good friends, and I have never told her to fuck off since.
No, exactly.
And I never will. So what you're saying is, it's like, would Kate and Wills go into the Bagel Bake and say, "We're so delighted to be here. I love bagels."
And Afram Koyo, don't give me that rubbish. What are you coming here, Nibishan? Talk
save
to me
it
like
for
that.
Your shiksa wife.
Oh my
Take
God.
Take that mask off. It's a summer cough, you hypochondriac. So what I thought about this story, when I see, you know, because I see my culture being seen. The male thinks one's Bake Off and thinks it's interesting they went to a bagel shop. I just think I'm just tickled by the idea of William and Kate going to this bagel shop. They've gone to the Bagel Bake. This is the one with the huge queues around the block. It's been there for ages and ages and ages. I feel a little bit sad they've gone to the Bagel Bake. In the East End, they actually pronounce it bagel. Mm-hmm. In North London, it's pronounced bagel, and it's often spelt with an A. But they spelled it with an EI here. Well, they spelled it with an EI in this famous one. But then again, they're not very good at sign writing because you notice in the it says it's 071, the number plate, the number on the phone number on the sign, 071729. Mm. I mean, do you know, it became 0171 in probably 1990.
Mm-hmm.
So they've got tradition. Anyway, the funny thing is it's other Jewish things with William and Kate. So I'm suddenly reimagining William and Kate's, it's like... William coming home, "I've got the bagels," and Kate Middleton going, "Did you remember the smoked salmon?" "Yeah, I got the smoked salmon." "Did you remember the cream cheese?" "I got the cream cheese." "Did you remember the new green Heimlicher cucumber?" "I forgot the new green." "We got Philip and the Queen coming round. We can't, you know, he loves his..."
"And what is Harry? Where is he? Where is Harry going? Gone to America? What? With who?"
He's married an actress?
Oh my God.
That is quite funny. So it's the Queen. So it's like...
And the Queen is devastated because none of her children are doctors.
Bubba. Bubba and Zayda. So the idea of that accent is meant affectionately. So the idea of the Queen and Prince Philip as Bubba and Zayda.
Yeah, exactly. And then
We've enough because and also all this Balmoral Christmas instead of Jews go skiing at Christmas. Because there's no one else there, the slopes are available. It's lovely. Mm. They go summer every year. We're not going sandjing anymore. We're going to go Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Lovely, the beaches. Yeah. Or Sharm el Sheikh, they love.
Yeah, but also you know
because you know she's not living at Buckingham Palace anymore.
No, she's
gone to Hampton Garden suburb. It's very convenient.
Of course, she has.
It's convenient for the kosher butcher.
It's convenient for Marks and Spencer.
Very convenient.
Now you can park on the pavement just outside, so it's fine.
The Queen always parks on the pavement because she's Jewish.
Exactly. She drives right up outside everywhere.
Yeah.
And just park and has the larger and just parks it. Hey, if you don't like it, you'll move.
Yeah.
Yep. And then I think this weekend it's Rosh Hashanah.
It is. Yes. How did you know that?
Because my spin teacher's Jewish.
Oh, right.
Well, I go to my... Look, my spin class
Your
is in Hampstead.
Your spin teacher's Jewish?
I'm from Hampstead Garden suburb, and my spin class is in Hampstead Garden suburb, and my spin... Everyone's Jewish.
Oh, right.
So they're all talking about how many people can you have at your bar mitzvah. That was the whole chat.
Amazing what you can save in the bar mitzvah with only six people. Yeah. No more King David
suite. I think I've got...
A little... In the garden you have a marquee, a little distancing.
I'm just wondering...
Save yourself a fortune.
I think you can have... I think the bar mitzvah rules... I think the rule of six doesn't apply to the
There's some religious stuff we can get a bit more.
Okay, but look, I think that the enormous laughs we've had even talking about it means that there's quite fertile ground. Okay.
I've got one other thing. How do you think you've got enough to make a show?
I do, unless this is an absolute gem.
The Jewish thing is quite funny.
I like the Jewish thing. I think the Jewish thing is really funny. I think that's going to be your column.
Okay, here's one. Do you think that should be my column?
Yeah, I do, and I've also got to go and have brunch with Melissa in 15 minutes.
It's only 10 past 11 in 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, fine, but...
Okay, but...
So you can't just fucking rush our
podcast. No, I wouldn't.
Because of your brunch, you do it every week. You've got something you have to leave for.
I've got a life.
This is the one thing that we have to do.
Yeah, I know. No, it's like one of many things that we both have to do.
Why would you put in brunch at 11:30?
Because I thought we'd be done by now. I didn't know you'd still be going, I've got one more story.
Where are you going for brunch?
Ronnie's on Swain's Lane.
Ronnie's.
Yes.
Maybe William and Kate will be there. Ronnie's lovely.
We can only hope.
Originally, Ronnie's Bagel Bakery in West End Lane. I used to love it very much.
Oh, you must know my friend Sonia. She's at Ludgrove Prep too. She loves it. Not sure about the Saturday school.
I was buying bagels. I sent William in for bagels. He came back with platzels. What a schlemiel. And he wants to be King of England. He can't tell an onion platzel from a poppy seed bagel.
There is your column.
Now, Harry, on the other hand, he knows his way around the schmaltz herring. but he can't do the accent in the...
You can, because you just have to put all the...
Oy vey is mir. It's said Prince Philip
as
the Queen. That is quite funny.
It's all about the end of the sentences your verb's putting.
No, that's very... I mean, that's being properly Yiddish. That's probably... It's the King of England he wants to be?
Look, it's too good.
He comes back with butter, with meat and dairy in the brunch. Don't close up your exercise book. I've got another thing.
Okay, quickly, darling.
Basically, there has been a bumper apple crop.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, yeah.
This year.
What are we going to do with all these apples?
Yes, exactly. And what are we going to do with all these apples? And it's partly, there's also been a thing that cider consumption has gone down. There's a separate story. So they've got all these apples, but the cider producer really sad because cider consumption has gone down because cider gets basically drunk in pubs. People don't really want to, when you're in lockdown wanting to get booze in, you get... People with beer and wine, cider is like a mood thing. Cider's being out, isn't it, Ben, out there in the West Country?
Cider is a mood thing.
Stratford-upon-Avon with the
Magnums.
Cider. Magnus, not
Magnus. Whatever it's called. Magnus and a Magnum.
Magnus, completely bullshit, made-up cider thing with that awful Irish voiceover.
It's delicious, though. You put
lots
of ice in it.
Give it time. Oh, no, that's not Irish.
No, that's...
What is the Magnus thing? What was the Magnus slogan?
I don't know, but it was very successful.
It was the campaign to put ice in it to try and make people think it was a different sort of a drink.
It is yummy. I love cider.
It is, but people aren't drinking it in lockdown. But anyway, there's so many apples in a bit. And I just want... There's been a bumper crop of everything... And then I could do the, oh no, the responsibility to make chutneys and jams.
Oh,
and your gin and my trauma.
Yes, of mining your weekend trauma of trying to make the
so I have to get over that columnist thing of admitting that I've got a place in the country, and everyone goes privilege. But the thing is, so we just all the fruit on the trees, all the chard in the field, all the stuff. But and you know, my Saturday of, you know, trying to get the kids to pick raspberries and having to, you know, thinking they'd be so lovely because the raspberries are full of raspberries and their kids quite like raspberries. Hey kids, why don't you, I'll read the papers, you go and pick raspberries for an hour and come back and I'll make some raspberry jam and that'll be lovely and autumnal. And they say, yeah, what's in it for us? Mm. And I end up giving them 2 hours of iPad time in return for half an hour of raspberry picking.
You were so, do you know what? You were so, so, so upset and devastated by all of that. And I'm afraid I had to sort of watch you just sort of stumbling into this situation, because I've made jam and I've tried to make chutneys and preserves and stuff, and I know what a
hot... I picked kilos and kilos of raspberries. Yeah. I brought them back, made them, boiling them away.
Yeah.
And look at this burn. That's one of my jam burns.
The mess caused by making jam.
And then it burns on the bottom, and in my favourite saucepan, and trying to scrunch over there. And in the end, in the set, and I've ended up with like a.
That's a really good one.
Full of earth of jam.
But you know why?
But also the chard. What are you going to do with all the chard? Mm. I brought all this chard back, and I thought I'm going to make. I looked in this book from the artisan cook from that had been on my radio show last week. I thought I'll make a charred kimchi, and I picked all this chard, and then I looked at it.
I'm not going to make a kimchi out of that.
Fart-smelling stuff that's right. Good for my microbiome.
Yeah.
And it's just like the pressure that's on you, the plums falling from the trees, and there they are being zzz, and the wasps eating them, and just, oh my God. And I desperately want to live in a world where the only way that you can get vitamin C through the winter is by preserving your own plums. And that you've got time, and that the guy who's on my show, and it's all about mindful, and you pick the fruit and you work with your children, and then you make the jam, and it's all mum.
Yeah,
and all they want to do is watch telly, and in the end you just go to the shop and buy a marathon bar.
A Snickers.
But in the good old days.
That's a really, I think that is actually, I'm glad you mentioned that story, because I think that is a very, very good column.
Of the pressure that you find is this kind of overworked, time-poor urban male desperately trying to do some mindful jam making and just having a fucking catastrophe.
Yeah, and you really had a catastrophe. You had an awful time and you were really upset. And I thought, and I looked at you having this terrible time and I thought, you've got to turn that into copy.
And I did, at least this morning, Kitty did have a little bit of my jam on her toast.
Your jam is delicious. Your jam is great. But we just don't have the kind of kids that are going to join in with that kind of thing.
No.
Or anything.
You've been listening to Giles Corran Has No Idea with me, Giles Corran.
And me, Esther Walker.
It's a Times podcast produced by Ben Mitchell. Please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. We're available on Acast, Spotify, Apple, and more. To find out what I wrote about in the end, read The Times on Saturday. There's a link in the podcast description. And for the full live experience, tune in to my new radio show on the all-new Times radio station on Fridays from 1 till 4.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Off Air, the podcast. With Jane Garvey and Fee Glover.
I go to the sink and I have some cheese.
Keep your cheese in the sink.
Doesn't everybody?
Every Monday to Thursday, Jane and Fee keep the microphones on after their Times radio show.
I think if we were to do a Mr. and Mrs.
Oh, no.
How would that go in the booth?
Badly. It would go very badly.
Unencumbered and off air.
Two tiny women with gobs.
Off Air, the podcast. Now available on the Times radio app.